home and chill, keeping you company during the coronavirus.
Hey guys, this is Joanna Shimonides from Love Island, and I host Access All Areas on Foobar Radio every Thursday from 6 to 7pm. Stay the hell at home, keep your PJs on, and we'll keep you entertained. You're listening to Stay Home and Chill on Foobar Radio, keeping you company through the coronavirus.
The Jack Mate Show on Foobar Radio.
Oh, the man himself is with us, Mr. Jack Howard. Jack,
hello there. I'm all right, thanks, mate. How are you?
Yeah, not bad, mate. I bet you're used to all this, aren't you?
Yeah.
Bigger studios,
sort of microphones and that. Yeah, I'm used to that.
You get paid for yours, don't you?
Let's not go into details about that, shall we?
Producers listen out there. I know Will's a big fan of Jack Howard.
Well, Jack, I've seen your videos, but...
And that's as far as it goes.
No,
I have seen them.
And I'm a big fan, but what they will do is kind of build this up to me, like, falling in love with you or something like that.
Sure, a little fanboy.
Yeah.
Well, where's blushing now?
Are you falling in love with me?
A little bit.
By the minute, yeah.
It won't be the first time a radio producer has done that.
Ooh. Wow, okay, do you want to... Oh, is that something we can...
It was Dean, but...
Fair play. But, that would have been a bit bad if you hadn't explained that, and I'd have just kept saying to Jack, oh yeah, Will's a big fan, because it'd make it sound like you're actually not a big fan.
Honestly, that's where I thought it was going. I thought, I've seen him, they're not.
I saw Jack's face when you first said it. I saw his face be like, what the fuck are you doing? Anger in his eyes.
What have you been up to today, Jack? What have you been doing?
Alright. What's this about? Today, lately actually, I've been writing a show, mate. I've been writing a sort of series that I'm working on. I can't really tell you anything other than that. It is in fact just a series that we are making,
okay.
And it will be made, and it is a series.
Oh.
And it's one of those things that I can't reveal any more yet, otherwise I'll get told off by the people who hopefully will pay for it.
Right, sweet. Well, congratulations or otherwise on that, mate.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
Yeah. So the topic of the show, I'm going to go back to this, is employment.
Well, that's interesting, because like that's what the show is kind of about. Like our show is.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's all coming together there.
Maybe we know.
Synergy.
Now, Jack, well, just before you came in, we were talking about celebrities that I'm fortunate enough, or unfortunate enough to meet in some cases. You ever had any bad experiences with celebrities?
With a celebrity?
Yeah.
No, I've only ever had, like, sort of weird encounters with celebrities. Like, I did, like, a few interviews before. I used to work for Digital Spy for a little bit. I did a little show for them. And the first red carpet interview I ever did was for The Hunger Games Catching Fire, when that was coming out at the premiere. And the first guy I was going to talk to was the producer. And I was like, okay, the producer is not like a well-known face. Like, it'll be an easy one to get started with.
Mm.
And I was sort of preparing myself for that. And then he wanders over, and I'm like, okay, here we go, first interview. Hi, I'm Jack. Can you come talk to us for a bit? He went, I know you. And I was like, what? Where's this going? And then he told me that, like, he'd done a sort of seminar in New York and talked about film and how it's developing and not dying. And I made a video on the internet being like, film ain't dying, it's saturated with stuff and franchises and, you know, that sort of stuff, but it's not dying, there's still creative people. And he went, I use that. And you inspired me, and I was like, holy crap, what's going on here?
So you pretty much inspired The Hunger Games.
I mean, that was a video I made called I Inspired The Hunger Games, yeah. Because what happened there was that after I talked about that on Twitter and on YouTube and stuff, I sort of went, oh, that's that done, I've done it. And then sort of the press picked it up, like only small things, but people were just like, Jack Howard is name dropped as an inspiration for The Hunger Games.
Oh.
And I was like, nope, that's not what happens. Don't twist that.
You'll take it.
Yeah.
Dean, if you're listening, what have you inspired? Has Dean inspired the sequel to The Hunger Games, or...?
I mean, I think Dean was the inspiration for the books for The Hunger Games.
Oh, okay,
so he was the original inspiration.
Oh, okay, so your story's not as...
Sorry to interrupt, we have an email in from...
Email alert!
A Judith Brazier.
Oh! Brazier.
Just says, enjoying the sham. The sham? Enjoying the show, Will's mum. Kiss, kiss.
That actually is my mum.
Cheers, Judith.
That actually is my mum.
How long have you been working here, Will?
It's not long enough, too.
About a month.
She's just checking in.
Yeah.
will
you be home for tea? Do you want peas or beans?
Jack D's round. That's waiting really for his fish and fucking chicken.
That's really
I'm with Jack Howard, mum. Jesus Christ. Make me look weird.
Sorry, Jack.
Jack, we've got a little game coming up.
Sure.
And basically, this weird little character to my left, Tom Norris, wrote a play every week. And
of course he does.
I've never read it, and we're gonna
read it out. Do I get to play a character?
You do.
Oh,
you
this
do.
Is the best.
You do.
This is the best.
I'll just have to tell you some details before we start it, so we're not gonna get it yet. But yeah, I want you to play one of the characters in there.
Brilliant. I promise not to read it until we have the chance. Until
there's a slight challenge to it, but I'll tell you that when we get there. It's gonna be quite a risky one. I like it.
Is there a crow in this one?
There's sadly not a crow in
this. Was there a crow in the last one?
In the last two.
In the last two?
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be a running theme, but it's not.
Sadly not, but you'll see why.
Shall we inform Jack on some of our jingles?
Yeah,
so this is the one I love. So play the ones that mug him off a bit.
Okay.
The Jack Mate Show with Tom Nice.
It's the other one.
For you.
Another one.
Alright. Jack Mate Show.
The Jack Mate Show with Tom
My response was this.
The Gary Busey Show with the beautiful Tom Norris. Radio.
That's the worst thing ever, because I used to have quite like a big sort of
no,
jaw.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't.
My hair wasn't always this fly, right? But even...
This is radio, mate. You could be lying.
I am. So, basically, I used to get compared to Boris Johnson a lot.
Okay.
Which isn't the best comparison in the world. And then I had my teeth fixed, and now I get Gary Busey. What can I do?
I bet you've gone off in the world, though.
Is it? Boris to Busey.
I don't know if anyone's ever compared them to before.
Boris to Busey.
Tweet in.
We make that a segment. Boris to Busey.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
I'm very excited. We have a very special lady and my dear friend, Amy Childs.
Hello, Lizzie.
How are you, my darling?
I'm fine, honey, thank you. How are you?
Well, I'm very well. Can I just say happy belated birthday?
I know. Can you believe it? 26? Oh, no. You know what,
Lizzie?
I'm getting old, love. This is the thing, I'm getting old.
Babe, how do you think I feel?
No, you look amazing, bloody amazing.
Well, I was so lucky because I've had you a bit this week, which was so lovely to see you because you had your fabulous launch, your wonderful clothes collection. Amy, I have to say, you had some beautiful pieces. I loved it.
Thank you so much, Lizzie. Yeah, do you know what? You look amazing in my dresses. You always look lovely. And yeah, the collection, I think the clothes are not getting really well. Loads of people turn up and the press have, you know, they loved it. So no, fingers
You've
crossed.
Had lots of press from it. I mean, I'm actually wearing your dress today. I've been filming in your dress. It's gorgeous.
And
we've got lovely Olivia here from OK. Now, Olivia, you asked Amy, because she loves MasterChef, Amy.
Oh my God.
Are you excited?
Oh, do you know what? I can't wait for you all to see it. The thing about me, I could not even boil an egg. Like, couldn't even do scrambled eggs, nothing like that. However, I did go on there thinking I'm going to take it so serious as competition. But obviously I can't really talk about my chef because obviously I filmed it already.
Exactly.
But I think I've learnt a lot. I've learnt a lot from my chef and I think I'm more of a confident cook now, so...
Oh, my God, because it must be I mean, I love cooking, and I've got two boys, but it must be so daunting. Like you said, you couldn't boil an egg, really.
And
wasn't
that
scary?
That MasterChef, that is one of the hardest shows I've ever done. I've filmed The Jump, I've done quite a few reality shows. That is by far the hardest show I've ever done.
Oh, my God. I cannot
so
wait
scary.
To watch it. Yeah, I'm
Johnny
really excited.
So scary.
Were they nice to you, though, Amy? Were they nice? Because I always feel a bit under pressure anyway, cooking in my own kitchen, let alone loads of people watching me and judges.
Yeah, so, do you know what? They was nice to me, but I'm quite scared of John, put it that way.
Oh, I know. I've seen John can turn, can't he?
Yeah, definitely, and do you know what? I can't wait for it to come on, and it's a great show for me. And obviously, it's a different audience as well, you know, BBC One.
Well, it's great you're doing BBC, Amy, and I think that's wonderful because, as you say, you have done so many reality shows, haven't you? Started with Big Brother, Celebrity Big Brother, which feels like ages ago now.
I know, ages ago, but I've done them all, you know, and then I did my own TV show, you know, it's all about Amy, I did The Jump, I've done quite a few shows. Lizzie, I'm with Harry, so Harry,
Harry. Harry. I love you, Harry. Now, Harry has the best sunglasses I've ever seen in my life. I wanted them today for filming, Harry, but I'm going to use them next time because I'm filming all week. But they are the best. They're the coolest glasses.
I'm really excited.
They're,
I feel like I need to see
these. They're on their way to you, honey. Oh, I'm so excited,
they're Harry. On the way to you, honey. They're on the way to you, honey.
I love this family. I feel I'm part of their family. I love their mums. I love them. And Amy, we've got to ask. I mean, you are so busy working. As you say, it's a great audience, new audience, BBC. What about you doing something like Strictly or In the Jungle? Something, maybe another one. What do you think?
Do you know what? I'd love to do Strictly. That is the one I'm really hoping for. The Jungle, they ask me quite a lot. They ask me all the time, would you go on the, like, would you do The Jungle? But I think I'd be terrible. Everyone, I think everyone would hate me. I really do think that because I could not do the spiders. I couldn't do the snakes. I couldn't do anything like that. And then I just wouldn't do it. Then I think people would really hate me. So I bet to stick maybe to Strictly. And with Strictly, I can't really dance, which I think is quite good.
Because I actually like it when they can't dance. The whole point of that show, I think, is seeing how people progress and get better.
Definitely. And you can, and how amazing after you, you know, you can actually learn how to dance and do all that. And yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, Lizzie. So if you've got any contacts, love, let me know.
Well, I'm best friends with Bruno Tonioli, so oh, I was with him. I've just been with him for a cup of tea, bless him. But
you tell Bruno, love.
I will. Bruno loves you. Actually, I wore your dress, and he said, "I've never seen you look so gorgeous." And I said, "This is Amy Charles," and he swore. He went, F me. He went, "You look fantastic."
Oh, really?
He loved it. Your dress is...
Honestly, you always look beautiful in my dresses.
Well,
and you always look fabulous.
Oh, bless you, Amy. Now, you're so sweet. Well, I love them. I've got to say, I don't take them off. I even sleep in them. I slept in them the other night after your party. I was so drunk. Anyway. But now, listen, Amy, but is there time for love life? You work so hard. You know, and you've had a bit of a turbulent time, really, haven't you? There's not been a real... man, a really good man, about for a while.
Oh, I know. Do you know what, Lizzie? The thing about me, yeah, I am busy, but I think, you know, I'm so unlucky in love. I really am. I'm so unlucky with men. I just meet the wrong people, you know, and that's just me being honest. Mm. However, you know, I'm busy, and, you know, the dog comes first. Leo is the one that comes first in the house.
So the dog.
Really men. Yes, the bulldog, Leo. Leonardo, the bulldog comes first.
I love that
dog.
Do you
know what, Lizzie? When the right man comes along, it will come along. But, you know,
I feel the same.
They're all settling down. They're all meeting people. My friend's having a baby.
I know.
And I'm just like...
all my friends are getting married, and that's for the second time round. I'm like, help! I know, but wait...
We need to go like me and you, Lizzie. We need to find,
like,
three nice men.
Exactly, we do. Well, look, let me one of your dresses. I'll dress up. Hopefully it might work.
Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
It's now a great pleasure to invite... onto the airwaves, Johnny from the DMAs. Hello, Johnny, are you there?
Hey, man, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm excellent, actually.
Slightly weird way that I found out about you guys is through my dad.
Okay, talk to me.
Not something that I'd imagine that he would be into, but he was like, oh, you've got to listen to this, you'll like them, and he was absolutely right. So he put me onto you. And you guys are from Sydney, right? I just came back from there, as it goes, about 6 weeks ago. And you've been here for pretty much the whole of April and May. Is there anything you're particularly missing from home at the moment, Johnny?
Not just yet.
Not just yet.
My girlfriend. Good,
yeah, make sure you get that in there.
Yeah.
Your sound, as I'm sure you've had loads of people dribble on about this to you, is so sort of like of a period of music in the UK, a real glorious period of music as well, the sort of Britpop kind of Manchester era. Is that something that you guys listened to growing up, or is that just a sound that's come almost completely by accident?
For me, it was like, you know, being 15, 16 and learning to play guitar and hanging out with just a particular group of friends in Australia who were listening to all those bands of that era, you know. But for Tommy, I think it was more that, like, his dad's a scout. Also, Tommy's got an older brother who's like 8 or 9 years older than him. So while Tommy was growing up, his brother was more of that generation, you know what I mean, and was playing it around the house kind of when he was growing up. So I guess that's kind of where it came from. Mason's really, like, never really listened to the Britpop scene that much at all. he's kind of more into like Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth and Pavement. And
okay, cool. Like that. I'm so pleased that it's going so well for you guys, because it just seemed like such a great sort of little gang of guys, and I really like the album, so I'm glad it's really taking off for you.
Cheers, man.
I just want to get you to take part in a little quiz that we do on the show called Best Guest, right? I just want to ask you some questions that I'm asking to all the guests on the show. Question number one, what was the last thing that you bought that you fell in love with? Last weekend, I bought a mustard-coloured denim-style jacket made out of corduroy, and I literally can't take it off.
Oh, yeah.
Is there something that you've bought recently? It doesn't necessarily have to be a piece of clothing. It could even be just a really nice dinner.
Probably the bloody jerk chicken I just had on the outskirts of Leeds just then, man. Nice. It was crazy.
The jerk chicken. The
Caribbean for life, I think it's called.
Caribbean for life. Well, that's you now.
Yeah.
I lost my bank card today for the third time this year. How many bank cards have you lost this calendar year, Johnny?
Zero.
Well done.
Well, I've been cool. I used to be notoriously bad with my wallet and my phones, like just every tour, just churning through them, but I must be getting close to 30.
Well, congratulations. What a miraculous turnaround. Number three, what's the weirdest or most terrible part-time job you've ever had for the bands that are taking off?
I built stages for a while. That was kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
Because it was just different. Like, you know, like when people like running out on the footy field with the stage on wheels for halftime entertainment.
So oh, yeah.
Do that for a bit.
I don't think I've ever met anybody that's done that. So we'll take that. Last question in this is game of fruit poker, right? So all these little mini questions are about fruit. Number one, what is your favourite fruit to eat? Number two, what is your favourite fruit to drink, i.e. a juice? And number three, what is your favourite flavoured fruit, confectionery or sweet?
Oh, that's pretty cool. I'm a big fan of mandarins.
Oh, yeah, that's a good shout, actually.
Yeah, when you have a good, like, refreshing mandy, that's pretty good.
It might be referring to something else over here.
Oh, shit. I don't know what he's talking about.
A bit of mandy. Mandarin. And what about juice-wise?
Carrot, apple and ginger. Sure.
Carrot, very specific. I like it. The devil's in the detail. And finally, sweet-based.
So, just on the back on the last question, have you ever had an avocado slurpee? Like slushy? Avocado smoothie, yeah. We've got them back in Sydney. They're pretty hectic.
Oh, well, I'm going back over there in September, so I'll get one, and then I'll let you know. If
you can get one in Marrickville. They're good. And the last question, the confectionery sweet, probably blackcurrant.
Good answer. Yeah. If you win Best Guest, you can have anything you want, Johnny, from the imaginary prize cupboard as a prize. So if you win today, what will that be?
Just true happiness, mate. Just true happiness.
Well, I think you guys are well on the road to it, because you're doing so well, and the album's amazing.
Let me know if I win this.
I'll let you know on social media.
I'll be happy forever.
I'll send you some sort of meme or something that would equate to eternal happiness. Oh, just quickly, one last quick thing. What's it stand for?
Doesn't mean anything.
Doesn't mean anything. Okay, good. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Tom Latcham on
FIBAR Radio. We've got a guest, Anthony Costa from Blue. Hello, Anthony. How are you doing?
You all right, guys? You all right? You all right, love?
So, have you had any cock-ups in life? I mean, you've had probably most of them been in the papers, right?
Yeah. No, I think my biggest one, personally, was I'm a massive Spurs fan, and a couple of seasons
that was
back,
it?
Yeah,
becoming a Spurs fan. Cock-up.
And a couple of seasons ago, we beat Wigan 9-1 at home, and I didn't look at my ticket, so I've just assumed it was a Saturday afternoon game. It wasn't, it was a Sunday. And I went there on a Saturday, there was no one here. I was like, this is a bit weird. It was like a ghost town. Tottenham Hotspur was like a ghost town. I was like, this is really weird. And then the next day it was raining. I thought, oh, do you know what?
We're
probably going to lose this 1-0 in the last minute. And we end up winning 9-1.
Oh, that is annoying.
That is a proper cock-up.
Anthony.
That is
annoying.
Well, one cock-up, actually, in a seamless link, was getting involved in this ITV2 show, which is called
Blue Go Mad.
Blue Go Mad in Ibiza.
Ibiza.
Which is basically, the premise of the show, it's fairly simple. Blue are effectively asked to go to Ibiza to open this bar, or spend 2 weeks running this bar, and then it opens up with them going, yeah, well, you know, if we open up this bar and make a success, maybe first Ibiza, maybe the world.
Yeah.
So that's a sort of they believe they were actually opening the bar. And what it transpires is everyone else is an actor.
Yeah.
And effectively you're being punked over four episodes on ITV2.
Yeah.
And it's all very, very amusing. And in the second episode, Anthony, it basically has to become the best man to a man he's literally just met
that day.
Yeah. And take him out on a stag do and then read a speech for him.
Yeah.
At his best man. Speech, despite the fact he doesn't know who he is, and his wife, who is also an actor, fancies the pants off Blue, and everything is Blue related in his wedding.
To me, we had this mad idea. We went, do you know what? Let's try and organise a wedding. So obviously, I'm thinking it's either going to go well good or so bad. But luckily for us, we met these people who said they were massive Blue fans, and met the girl who was an absolute nut job. She was an absolute fruitcake, and I was like, this is weird. She's too over the top. But I thought, you know what? Let's just go with it. Then met her husband to be called Neil. It was an absolute drip, by the way. But such a nice
guy.
I've
got to say that you were very sweet.
Yeah, because apparently they wanted Lee to be the best man. And because Lee didn't really speak to him, but didn't really sort of vibe with him, I was the one sitting next to him in the beginning of the meeting.
You could say Lee's not even the best man in his own house.
No, he's a good lad. He's a good lad. But for us, I was like, I felt sorry for him because the way she was talking to him was like, can you not sit next to me? And you smell, and I'm like, mate, you're going to let her speak to you like that? You know, that's rude. You shouldn't do that anyway. And Neil was like, I'd like you to be my best man, man. And I was like, yeah, cool, no worries. So I took him on a stag do. Went to the
fun rat
fair.
Arse.
I got proper rat arse, mate. And little did I know that they didn't. And
he
I was
you were doing shots. What was he doing?
He was doing shots of water, apparently, now. Yeah, so I'm doing tequilas. I'm proper down in
them. How many did you have?
Do you know what? I can't remember. It was so bad.
And you were doing impressions of Kojak.
Was I?
Yeah.
Or Columbo.
No, both.
Kojak?
Yes.
How do I do Kojak? Columbo was like, yeah, who loves you, baby?
You had like a lolly. You were holding a fake lolly and going, whatever.
Who loves you, baby?
Whatever Kojak
this
says.
This is bad, mate. Oh. Yeah. See, I didn't even know, mate. I knew I did Columbo.
So you haven't seen the second episode. I feel quite privileged. I've seen the second
you
episode.
Mate.
And you haven't. So how on earth did you manage to get involved in this show?
So obviously,
you didn't know. Obviously,
no, we didn't.
But how did it come about?
For us, it was the guys that obviously did the big reunion. We was on that show, got on really well with the producers, Phil and Michael, and they were like, "Look, we've got this idea, this mad idea for you guys to go over to our beef and run a bottle." We were like, "Yeah, man, that sounds like a great idea. You know, it's out of our comfort zone. Let's do something completely different and that we're not known for." And obviously we've gone out there really serious about doing it and making it really a success, because we don't want to go out there and fail, because it doesn't look good on us. So we really, really tried artists, and, you know, we did get punters in and we did make a profit, but unbeknown to us, there was all actors.
All Anthony, bless him.
I know.
How do you always get in these scrapes? I feel
and tricked
you guys.
As well. We've been tricked with Simon. Yeah, and a deck undercover.
And so what was the most, I mean, apart from the wedding and the best man thing, what was the maddest thing that happened to you?
Oh, God, the maddest thing that happened to us. No, the boat party was, I think, Jamaica to Ibiza was like a mad night, because that was very different to what it's like in Ibiza. Because obviously, I don't know if you've been to Ibiza, it was very house music, very, you know, everyone's a bit chilled and a bit sort of like peace and love. And us, we took over this bar and started playing reggae music, and everyone's like, oh, this is completely different. And that to me, that was mad, because I'm thinking, all these people coming on holiday, not expecting to see Blue, but then coming to see us in the bar and then dancing with us and having a party. I think the maddest for us was the last episode. The people of the law come knocking on our bar. All right, we get arrested, basically, and that's it.
And how did you react?
Is that the first time?
Yeah, first time ever. I absolutely cacked myself, mate, because it was horrible. Because there was three Spanish police and one, well, we thought he was a Spanish police, but he was an actor. But he was so good. He was scary. He had a, you know, tall, dark moustache. I was like, yeah, mate, he looks proper naughty and proper nasty. And he was shouting at us and calling us, you know, you English, beep, beep, beep. And we're like, hold on a minute, mate, you know, we're just running the bar, you know. So it all unfolds, and that's the last episode.
I almost got nicked once by Spanish police.
Did you?
Yeah. So we were in Ibiza, and we were going to space, and there was no taxis. So we got in this little car, this woman offered us a lift, and there was like five blokes in this tiny woman's little Uno or whatever. So the police, they do roadblocks, and you're not allowed to get into fake cabs. So basically they got us out of the car and stood us all in a row, and we thought, I was saying to my mate, I was like, we're going to get battered here. They're going to beat us up. We're going to get absolutely muddled. Wow. We're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
We're going to get absolutely battered. But what they did instead was they just shone a torch in each of our face and screamed. And so a different tone to each of us. So they effectively made us sing along a line. I was going, I'd rather take this than a kicking. You know what I mean? That is what it was meant. Those Spanish police, they are.
They don't care.
No.
So, you know, in their eyes, you're disrespecting our country and disrespecting our ethic, and you can't do that. So for us, we were like, we're going to get done here.
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated on FUBAR Radio.
Our second two guests, they come as a double package for today. at least.
Mm. Absolute legends, to be perfectly honest with you. Tim Heidecker and Neil Hamburger, a.k.a. Greg Turkington.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I've got
it
right.
Thank you. Well, you've nice got, to like, be here.
Not only have you got the best names in the industry.
Better than Elton John?
All right, the second best names in the industry. You're incredibly funny. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, that's thank you very much. We appreciate that. We're very funny on radio, actually. That's kind of where we shine, so this is going to be a hoot.
How did you meet? What sort of awkward situation was
it? I fell down a flight of stairs at the Comedy Magazine headquarters, and he was doing an interview there, and they had to call an ambulance and stuff, and he was doing...
I did CPR on you.
CPR, and had put a splint on my leg, which mm-hmm. ended up being broken. And it was amazing because we were doing unrelated mm-hmm. interviews at Comedy Magazine, and this thing brought us together.
Are you guys familiar with Comedy Magazine?
No, I'm not.
It's a big, big, big magazine in the States. Oh, it covers comedy. I'll be the straight man today. I'll be the honest. I'll give the honest answer. I was a huge Neil Hamburger fan. He's the kind of comedian that I would physically, like, I would start screaming and jumping up and down during his sets when I would see him. So I cast him on my other show, Tim and Eric. Awesome show. Great job, which has had some success here.
No,
I believe.
Very big success here.
Thank you. And so we got him in, and then we turned out we had a lot of similar things going on with our life. We both had wives, so that was something we could talk about.
It's common ground.
My wife. We went out and had dinner, and then it's just been a love fest ever since. A beautiful relationship.
Share a lot of hatred for things.
Yeah.
We don't care for
it's
much.
So it's a love fest based on hate.
Right.
Mel, I was watching one of your interviews with Rolling Stone.
Oh, God.
You were talking about music and the type of music you love and hate, and it was fucking amazing.
We don't know what's happening.
It's all shit.
Yeah, it all sounds the same, and that sounds like a couple of old jerks talking, but I stopped paying attention like when Achtung Baby came out.
Does this FUBAR stand for fucked up British-American relations?
Yeah.
What does it really mean?
Beyond all recognition.
You got to check up Saving Private Ryan, man. It's one of Spielberg's greatest movies.
I'm not doing that. I was done with him after Duel.
I do a sort of an interesting challenge for myself. I've done a lot of research and work on this. I can impersonate any British king in the history of the British experience, British history. So I can do an impression of any. I take the challenge to the audience and I say, I can do. You all name it, I can do it.
Okay. He's good, too.
Ledley King.
Who? British. Ledley King?
Ledley King.
Right. Okay. What year are we talking?
You can do him from last year if you want.
No, I mean, king, one of the monarchs. Right, come on. Okay, this is not a joke.
He put a lot of time into this.
King Richard III.
Yeah.
Okay, my impression of King Richard III.
My name is King Richard III. I was king during the most remarkable period in British history. I had some good days and some bad. And my realm extended beyond the sunset of the British Empire.
It's a bit like, so I mean, anyone, you know.
Yeah,
it's pretty close.
Who's the one in The King's Speech? Which king is portrayed in The King's Speech?
What's his name again?
I think he's in the George.
George.
The condition cleared up, so you don't need to do the impersonation.
Well, I do him after the condition was cleared up.
Yeah.
Out of respect to the stumblers. I call them stumblers. I paint with a broad brush.
Ian Boltzmann on FUBAR Radio.
Helen Leder is on the phone.
Hello, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, how are you?
Very pleased to be speaking to you.
I'm equally pleased, but probably more so, I would imagine. I see what I like. I'm going to speak to you just as a normal person. Is all the people who generationally I've sort of, not, I was going to say grown up with, and that sounds rude, who have influenced me in comedy.
I know what you mean.
So the crowd I would consider you from are people like Dawn and Jennifer, people like Rick and Aidan and that.
80s, the 80s.
Yeah, but it progressed through the 80s as well, though, so we're not going to pigeonhole you there. But I always love it. For example, when Ade Edmondson wrote The Gobbler, he wrote a novel. I was so happy that he'd written a novel. I was so happy about it.
That's good, because you made that connection with him.
Totally.
In your formative years. I totally understand that. I meet people who say similar things when I'm out and about, because I've never been out and about. You have to do a book as a conduit to get you out and about legitimately. So it is a joy to actually meet people who are actually nice.
Absolutely, yeah,
and
absolutely.
It's a shock, and it's lovely. If I talk to anyone, you know.
Same, you know, same.
And it's enjoyable, and I get what you mean, because that was a sort of, not an elite, that's the wrong word, but it was an ensemble of a few people that cheered people up a lot.
Absolutely. Well, there's an interesting thing, isn't it, in how things are different nowadays, in that when people are sort of the in vogue fame people at the moment...
Big hitters, I call them.
Yeah, but,
people
but,
who get to be on the sofa on the TV shows.
Yeah, but they don't write books. They write autobiographies. They don't write creative things. They just write, or get ghostwritten.
I'm really interested that you've made that distinction, because... Then when people talk to me about the book, they say, oh, is the character sort of autobiographical? I go, yeah, but it's fiction.
Yeah.
But I have done all the things that the character has done. But I couldn't do an autobiography because I'm not in the category. Plus, I've blanked out so much of my past, I can't even bear to think about it.
Right, okay.
And three, if there is a three, chronological detailing of life, or even if you chuck it around in a chapter form, thematically, let's say, a bit more complex, just boring. For me... I just think you read a first chapter and then you get the colour of the person and that's it.
But I think there's a counter-argument that I think it's boring now. I don't think it always has been. For example, some of my favourite autobiographers are Les Dawson's. They're wonderful.
Yes, I would read his, because then it's a good example. Not just agreeing with you. One, I really, really like him. And two, you would get a flavour of that person's life and the times that are of interest. So yes, that's what you're paying for. But then other people, you know, books... The world of books, it's mad. You know, some people just devour books about sewing machines and patchwork.
Yeah, and I guess so, yeah.
Especially now. So it's like we all have our obsessions and our niche interests, don't we?
Just like creativity in terms of not just retelling your story. I like the fact...
Doing it.
Yeah,
actually
getting out
there and doing it and still doing it. I mean, I've sort of learnt this distinction as I've been talking to people, to accept where I'm at, really accept it, not be bitter and cross like I was about 10 years ago.
Were you really?
Well, slightly, because I hadn't got my sitcom and da-di-da. And then you just go, well, you just go, I just do it my way. But what we all do.
Totally, but you were always there or thereabout. So it's
little way.
No. Honestly, not buttering you up. I genuinely believe this. When Harold Ramis died, you know, director, and he was in Ghostbusters, he played Spengler in Ghostbusters. Yeah. I wrote a tweet that I hate that when people die and somebody writes a tweet and then...
It's kind of from the heart sometimes.
Yeah, but I don't like it when the media places then pick it up and reprint it everywhere.
Yeah, there's
that. Because then it looks like you've done it on purpose.
Yeah, I understand that.
But that did happen with that one. And since then, I will never actually name people. But when Harold Ramis died, what I wrote was, I said, you know, Sarah obviously was a wonderful performer in that, and who understood the importance of the man at the side.
I like that. You made the connection. It's all about the connection. And other people will be cheered by your connection. I don't think people should hold back on doing it. If other people hijack that for their own agenda, then that is probably partly inevitable.
Totally.
We have to put that, don't we? In order to keep going, you just have to do your own thing. And that's very much what I'm sounding rather toxic about this, but I think just, again, sort of going out there with a product really has taught me so much in the last 2 months. One, I'm knackered, and I forget things and lose things and leave CDs and venues and stuff, but you do get a taste of what you're saying, and that is very heartening at this age, you know, at middle age now.
Yeah. Well, my point was though, Helen, is that I don't... No, it's fine. But my point was, if I'd known you at that point, I'd have proper kicked you up the arse, and it'd have been probably like, no, you're an integral, important part to this. Just because you're not the lead in something doesn't mean you're not equally important.
Not there. When I look back, and it's very pointless looking back, it's actually not very good practice, but occasionally, well, I think, well, I should have kept doing the stand-up. I did it for 5 years. I found it so derailing,
right.
But I accepted that as normal, because you do when you're young and totally committed to doing what you're doing.
Yeah.
But it was just so nice not to have to do it, because the opportunities then came in that made me not have to do it. I sort of wonder if I'd sort of cracked on in a sort of masochistic way. But that's why sort of doing these gigs now with the book, which is a more genteel version because people have chosen to come and see me, I suppose.
Yeah.
It's a mix. I kind of go back into that thing of stand-up, but not completely.
Okay, you'd really lose. You can get rusty at it, but you don't ever lose
you
that
don't,
skill,
just
do you?
Just because of the terror and the good gigs and the appalling gigs.
Yeah.
Taken all together... Well, it's like with you, I mean, there'll be some shows might go slightly less well than others, but you have to have that, don't you?
Very, very rarely.
Oh, I know. I was cautious when I went down that.
Very rarely, Helen. It would always be because
it's
of things
top.
Out of my control if that
of
ever
course,
happened.
Of course, always blame. It's always technical. God, isn't it?
Yeah, the light was slightly off or the sound wasn't quite loud.
You couldn't see the cue light. Somebody had moved it.
It would never, ever be because I was giving a below par performance.
No.
Access all areas on FUBAR Radio. Our guest is here, and I don't want to waste any time. The very gorgeous Max George.
Thanks very much, mate.
How nice are you? Here.
I'm really good.
Good?
Yeah, really good.
Bit rushed to get.
yeah, it's a few steps as well, isn't it?
Well, have you been running?
Just only up the steps here.
Oh, yeah, to be fair. I usually do it with a little drink in my hand, so it's a bit easier.
Well, it's a nice booze at all now.
It's nice. There's the depot next door, yeah, pretty good. How are you?
I'm really good. Yeah, really, really good.
Obviously, people will know you from The Wanted.
Yeah.
And that's where you first came. It's been a little time since that kind of disbanded. How come it took you so long?
Well, I went into acting for a year when I moved out to LA, did some acting. And then just after that, got signed by a major label over there. It didn't quite work out. So I did the song sort of 2.5 years ago, but just because of this, you know, label bollocks and whatnot, it just kind of didn't pan out right.
So this happens a lot, right? Like, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't know.
Yeah, I think so. There is, and it can take so long, and I've missed 2 summers. I was like, right, I'm not missing another one, so I put my own label together, got in partnership with Sony in the US, and now it's all going now.
And finally... How does it feel to get it all out?
It's really nice. Like, it's been kind of a relief, really, because I've been wanting to do it for the last 2.5 years, and so it's been a big relief that, you know, I'll be performing at places like soon, and yeah, it feels great.
How is it different to being in the band?
I think the only difference is that
you can't rely on someone else to sing your line for you.
Exactly.
Fuck up.
Exactly as that. If you really hungover, you know, and you can't be arsed talking, there's the others that do it. But really, I mean, my tour manager and stuff's my best mate from school. I brought him in. He quit his job to come and do this, so fingers crossed for him that it works. And yes, so the main difference is just this sort of, there aren't as many of you.
But obviously.
I'm getting used to it, though. Honestly, I'm getting used to it. It's all right. Like, I don't mind it.
Do you keep in contact with the boys?
Two of them I do, yeah.
Which two?
Jay and Tom.
Okay.
Yeah.
Was there kind of a fallout or anything?
Wasn't a fallout, but we kind of just didn't speak.
I think that does happen, actually, fairly often. You see it in bands all the time, right? It's just create friendships and...
Yeah, I mean, I've been trying to think about this the last few years, what I may have done to them or something, but I can't think of anything. Unless I did something that I can't remember. You know?
Is that possible?
It could be. You know, it's definitely possible, but yeah.
But this does happen quite a lot. It's happened with One Direction, it happened with Girls Aloud, it happens with the Spice Girls, right? You just get 5 people together, doesn't guarantee they're going to get on, kind of thing.
No, well, it was all right during the music time. It was just kind of after that we didn't... We haven't really spoke, but like I say, Tom and Jay, I was with them at the weekend for Tom's wedding, so it was great.
So you are like the Cheryl, Nicola, Kimberly.
Yeah, which one am I?
Which one do you want to be?
Cheryl.
The star, biggest star.
Obviously. That's
and Nicola's
me,
the good songwriter, so which one are you
going to... Well, I'm all of them then, aren't
take
I?
It. We'll
Kimberly's
take
a
it.
Really nice one as well, and I think I'm really nice.
Obviously, Jay had a big success with Strictly. You've done a bit of acting. What kind of... Are you kind of into doing something along those lines?
What, Strictly?
Imagine? Well, I imagine they probably wouldn't have someone from The Wanted try again, right?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, that certainly isn't on my radar anyway. But no,
he did very well. I mean, he won.
He did amazingly well. Yeah, I mean, well, you literally can't beat that.
No, you can't.
No,
you can join it, you can't beat it.
Exactly. No, I've not really thought about anything like that because obviously the music's, like, this is my life now. So everything that I do is for this.
It was quite impressive. You're obviously doing very well.
I've got a long way to go yet. I mean, it's really early days, but...
Are you feeling confident about it?
Yeah, I think what it is I've not really set myself any expectations. I've just said, like, I've got to a point now where I'm happy, where the music's out. So now I just want to enjoy it now.
Yeah.
I don't want to stress out about it because the last 2.5 years I've had to do that. Now I just want to just focus on it and enjoy it.
Good. That sounds pretty good. The Jack Mate Show
on FUBAR Radio. We are joined by the man himself, Mr. Pete Donaldson.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm so excited you're here.
I'm really hot. I'm also excited that I'm here. What is with it, this place?
It's like a toga party
kind of business.
To be honest, we don't really know what we're doing. We just turn up every Friday and
just because you're allowed to press some of the buttons, you're not allowed to press the buttons on the air conditioning. that's not part of the desk, Jack.
Can you do that?
Well, can I operate the air conditioning unit?
Yeah,
I can do. Yeah.
Actually, it's all right. It's getting cooler now. I'm fine.
You're right.
I'll flap my arms a bit.
How are you? You well?
Thank you for letting me on, guys. It's wonderful. I've been here once before, back in the day, but They're not replaced any of the equipment, it seems. It's pretty much the same setup as it was before, but yeah, lovely.
Low budget stuff here on FUBAR. Low budget stuff.
Speaking of low budget,
here's a jingle we made.
Hey. Yeah.
Thanks for coming, PD. Cheers, Diggory. Let's chat some shit today. Thanks for coming, PT. Cheers, Diggory. Did you get some yoghurt on the way?
That's fantastic. I mean, I'm surprised. Well, I asked. That was the reason why I asked how long you guys have been doing the show. You said 15 weeks, and you're still doing personal jingles like
that's
that.
That's the first personal jingle I think we've ever done.
Oh, okay.
Apart from Robbie.
Ben Cook had one.
Yeah, Cook had one, didn't he?
Okay, sorry.
Because his last name was Cook, so we made it a bit like Bake Off.
Yeah. I mean, if people are unfamiliar with my oeuvre, I come from a podcast called The Football Ramble, and I revealed upon it that my name was going to be Diggory instead of Peter. My dad was very keen on that name.
Where did that come from?
My dad's stupid face. That was the idea that he had. Did not get through planning with my mum, so okay. Yeah. And I really like yoghurt, so...
My dad recently got an iPad, and he's quite old school, my dad, and he went on the game centre thing, and it said his name was Noggs, and my last name's Norris, and he goes, why does it say this name? I was like, it just gives you a random name, Dad. He goes, because when I was at school, my nickname was Noggs, King of the Noggs.
I mean, yeah.
I think he was a monarch.
I don't know what Noggs is, but yeah. King of the I'm the Prince of the Noggs now. So.
Brilliant. You will inherit that title one day.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I feel a bit sort of like overwhelmed by the amount of Newcastle in this room now.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
So Tom's 50%.
Newcastle. Okay, Newcastle final, because I'm Hartlepool, aren't I? So I'm technically Teesside.
Cambridge.
That was my other name.
So. Why is that again? Your family?
Family from Carlisle, which is okay. Still isn't Newcastle.
Weirdly, they have the same accent as Hartlepoolians, even though they're nowhere near, which usually is like Elish and Bewers and stuff like that, which just baffles the mind because Carlisle's miles away.
I wouldn't have a clue.
I've only been Carlisle a handful of times, seeing my nan. She got really angry when we didn't eat all the crisps she put out.
Was that
annoying? I've always harboured that,
man. There was fault about that. Somebody didn't eat somebody's crisps. Oh, that's how Darling became Darlington.
It's real cute to us. We leave the room. What bastard's not eating the crisps? All right, Nan.
I'll go round and I'll have all the crisps.
No, she's in your box, your crisp box.
What are the crisps? What crisps were they?
I really can't remember. There's loads of Sunny Delight and then a kid turned orange and I remember something about that.
Is this a Roald Dahl book?
some kid drank loads of Sunny Delight once and there was something about his skin pigment. I could be lying.
That
Am
is
I
true,
lying?
I remember that. I also remember a guy who used to use colloid silver. He thought, basically silver's like an antiseptic. Mm. And he used to drink water with silver in it. And it turned him like this amazing smurf blue. Check it out on YouTube. It's beautiful. This man explaining what, and he goes, I won't do it again. And then he looks at the camera and goes, I might do it again. He can't get enough of that colloidal silver. Love it.
That reminds me of Goldschlager. You remember that?
Is that the one that cuts your throat?
Oh, it's real gold in there, mate. Real gold in there. Cut your throat. It's like, yeah. It's
so the alcohol gets in quicker. Yeah. That's what I had. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's never real gold, was it? Never real gold.
So we have to admit, we are like a bit of fanboys, aren't we? Big fans of the Ramble Pete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had Luke call in once upon a time. But we often get together on a Friday morning before this show and discuss, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've got a question for you off air, haven't we?
Sorry, is it about a yacht?
Yes. And a couple of jobbies.
And we've got a couple, I think, probably in the next bit, we've got a few football-related stories.
Okay.
And of our own personal experience within the football game. And we want you to judge which one would most likely make it onto Highlights of the Week.
I mean, I think you're overestimating the quality of that particular section. I imagine all of them will, and more.
Well, you haven't had wheels yet.
If someone just sent an email with the word football written in it, sent from my iPhone, that would get in the Highlights of the Week.
So, Pete, tell us a bit about yourself, mate. What do you do other than the Ramble?
Loads of short runs, loads of squat thrusts. Well, to be honest, in January, I've been to the gym at least 10 times. Are we all doing that now?
You two would get on famously.
Are we all doing that?
Newcastle lads.
That's what we do.
Pumping that iron, lifting the Greg's pasties to our mouths and then down again. It's incredible. And you just walk around, I've just been at the gym and you walk around and everyone, all the proper muscle men, they're just annoyed that you're there.
Mm.
They're just upset.
Looks.
They're just going, amateurs.
Yeah, you're a waste of a bench to them, aren't you?
It's like when people go and get drunk at Christmas. You go, I'm here every weekend, mate. You're not allowed to suddenly think you're really good at drinking. And then I punch them.
What do you...
Sorry, I'm a voiceover man and I do radio shows in the evening as well.
Okay, okay.
But so I'm here to show you how to do it properly, yeah?
We need less, we need help.
Talking of Pete's voice, you've got a question based on his voice. You weren't too sure, you was 90% sure that was him on a clip.
No, I'm pretty sure. The clip that's been going around Facebook a bit with talking to Liam Gallagher.
Yes.
Booting on
Idris
Elba's hat.
I spoke to someone in Manchester that I didn't really want to maintain contact with. It was a friend's birthday. I was like, oh, this person's a bit of an idiot. And I got back down to London, and a few weeks later, that the Lad Bible, which seems to just kind of take every bit of content that's ever existed in the world and steal it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you've got any kind of relationship with Lad Bible.
No, but no. Not now, anyway.
I'm looking for my man. What are your sponsors again? And they kind of just stole it, and it went sort of viral, just him. This mewling interview that I really hated, one of my worst interviews, because it was a big deal. Everyone was going, oh my God, you've got Noel Gallagher interview. And we get into it, and I'm fawning, and I'm just trying to get the interview finished, and I'm trying to. And he does this story about Idris Elba's hat. And yes, I was that person. So this person that I met in Manchester found me on Lad Bible and started going, oh mate, are you on the radio? Are you famous? So he keeps on messaging me. I hate it. I hate Lad Bible.
Was he a bit of a nightmare? Because he does seem a bit of a nasty piece of work.
We're talking about Gallagher now, not
the chap.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a massive dildo, as you'd imagine. But that's kind of his raison d'etre, really. But I mean, I can take it from Noel because there's a little bit of intelligence behind there. But there's a certain level of intelligence with Liam. But like, he's my friend. He's definitely not my friend. But like, he's a 40-odd-year-old man, from mid-40s bloke, and he's just giggling and scoring points like with his mates and stuff.
Yeah.
In what's his band? BDI.
Right.
And I'm like, going, mate, grow up. Like, just do your job, do your promo, and then bugger off.
Giggling and point scoring sounds a bit like the Ramble.
Yeah, I've got no room to talk, really.
So how did the Ramble start, Pete?
Hang on, sorry to interrupt. You have been so excited to ask this, haven't you? In the pub earlier, I'm going to ask him how it starts. Well, that would be a good question,
I'm
going to ask him where he gets his trousers from. Started in one of the guys who does it, Luke Murr, who we mentioned just a second ago, who does send his apologies. He was going to come down, but he's got work to do. He's got a proper job on that. But him and Marcus and Jim, who also do the Ramble, they started in Luke's kitchen, I do believe. I think it all started as student radio. That's not something I ever got involved in. Basically, I was working at XFM. On the breakfast show, I had access to studios, so that's why I got involved, basically. There was no reason for me to get involved other than I had access to studios and they needed a studio. So,
had you heard it before they got in contact?
Luke thinks I did, but I didn't.
No.
Luke worked in my building upstairs on the sales floor, and he messaged me. We talked about this just yesterday, in fact. He said, oh, because you used to listen before. I was like, I think we were talking and I pretended I'd heard it. But it was still as excellent as it is now before I joined, but I hadn't heard it, but it was very good, and I wanted to get involved, very much so.
You got all that, Will?
Thanks for having me this week.
Joey Page on FUBAR Radio.
I have finally made it. I reckon probably the biggest guest I've ever had the chance to interview in my life. A bona fide, successful actor, Hollywood superstar, a keen skater, not ice skater, skateboarder.
Yeah, let's clarify that.
Jim Sturgis joins us in the studio. I want to start with the skating a little bit. Do you still skate?
No. I live right by a skate park just up on Camden Road, and I sort of walked past it thinking maybe I could get back on it, but I'm just too old. I went on a skateboard not that long ago, and I landed like the first trick, and I got a bit of sort of confidence about that, and then fell off on the next one, and I hurt myself in a way that I haven't hurt myself in a long time.
Right.
And had to walk away with my tail between my legs. It took probably 4 months to recover from that injury. Bounce back like you used to.
I guess it must be the equivalent to like football, when you get back into it and then you get an injury and it takes ages.
It only takes one little thing and then you're out.
What you need is a role to come in that's about a skater, and then that's it,
to kind of do it for research,
because then someone, you'll be paid to train, you'll get really good at it.
I just think you injure yourself just too much, just something I shouldn't even take on. I have fond memories of doing it. It was a big part of my life growing up. It was how I spent most of my youth.
And where did you grow up, Jim?
Well, I was born in London, and then I grew up just outside in Surrey, around that area, around there. So I spent most of my youth there, and then moved back to London, then moved to Manchester.
Do you find when you've been, like, it's obviously rehearsals and filming, and that takes a real long time. Do you sometimes find the traits of these characters seeping into your life?
There was a film I did, a film called London Fields, where I was covered in tattoos.
Right.
And I had these fake tattoos, that were sort of semi-permanent tattoos that were all over my arms, up my neck. And I was playing like a really unpleasant character in that film. And it started to rub off on me, and I was sort of walking around thinking I was probably a lot harder than I am in real life. And someone nearly ran me over in a car, and I was a little too quick to fucking offer him out, and realised I'd bitten off way more than I could chew, you know.
I can identify. I come out of this studio on a Wednesday going, I'm well good at this, and then it's like, I might get out of my way, I'm getting on the bus. Sorry, mate.
Exactly.
We're going to have a little dig into your career, because you've worked with so many amazing actors, and you've been in so many amazing films, like Cloud Atlas, one of the most notable ones, which I really love that film. That's right on my street.
That's a dividing movie, isn't it? There's people who like it.
But it's so dense and complicated. If you've not seen Cloud Atlas, it's basically I've seen it about three times, I can't explain. Basically, it's following the lives, the same kind of the spirit of a person, I guess. So like them in the future in a different life and them in the past in a different life.
It's about whatever you put out into the world, whether that be positive or negative, the sort of ripple effects and the impacts that decisions that you make and conversations that you have and acts of kindness and acts of evil, how that sort of ripples throughout eternity sort of thing.
Exactly.
So the film tried to sort of touch on that we're all sort of souls moving through different bodies. You know?
You personally, not the character that you're playing, that you personally, if you had to wager a guess, what kind of lives do you reckon you might have had in the past and the future?
Yeah, we talked about this. There were sort of old souls and new souls. Sometimes you can meet a 10-year-old boy or a girl or a 10-year-old kid, you know, and you just think, wow, they seem so advanced, wise, you know, they seem so wise and they seem so sort of confident or nuanced in a way that you think, you've been here before, this is not your first trip around. So we'd have conversations about whether we thought we were old souls and new souls. And I feel like a pretty new soul. I feel like things are quite wide open and I get very excited about things.
Sure.
And I don't think I've been around that long, you know.
Okay. I just want to indulge you in our regular feature that we do on the show. So all our guests, we ask them the same questions. It's called Best Guest.
Right.
And I just want you to answer them honestly. Your answer compared to the bands and other people we've got on the show. And if your answers turn out to be the best ones, then you'll win a prize.
All right, good.
But it's imaginary. Anyway, question one.
You should have told me that. Now, right. Okay,
well, no, because you've got to decide what it is. So
okay.
Just get you in that Cloud Atlas state of mind.
All right, go on.
Question number one. Are you reading a book at the minute? And if so, what?
I'm not reading a book, but saying that, I just got given Tom Hanks's book for Christmas.
Yeah. Okay.
So that was the last book I got given.
That was the last book I wanted. Yeah. That's like a normal person going, someone in their office going, oh, I got you Barry and Accounts book. I don't want to read that book.
But it was that. It was like, oh, yeah, we got you your mate, my mate, Tom Hanks, has written a book, apparently. So someone gave me his book. Right. But I've not yet dived into it.
Well, stick that down. And you got a favourite biscuit, Jim?
Digestive, chocolate digestive.
Okay, very good. Very definite as well.
Yeah.
New straight away.
Yeah.
Now, as I was saying to my friend Sio, co-host the show with me, because we got shown a picture of like, and that's swooning over you a bit, and then Sio went, even me and Joey have got good press shots, right? And in real life, right, you're a good looking lad,
right,
as we both are, so yeah, I feel course, the pain course. Of
yeah,
all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm joking, right? But can you remember your first ever date?
Yeah, because I've never been on a date.
You've never been on a date?
Well, only recently with my now girlfriend, but my whole life I'd never been on a date up until that point.
Not even like at school or like...
No, never.
No.
And
way.
Any relationship that I've been in was always sort of circumstantial out of being mates or through mates or just sort of hanging out in the sort of scene or whatever. The idea of sort of meeting somebody that you've never met before and going out on a night out, having some dinner or going for some drinks just is not something I'd ever done.
Never been on a date.
Yeah.
That'll put a curveball in the old when we top that up at the end. This one, I don't know how you're going to do this because I worked out earlier on today in a conversation. I haven't got any friends who are American.
Okay.
So, how many Americans are you friends with? This might be quite hard for you because you've got such a big sort of catalogue of people.
Yeah, I don't think I could list them. I don't think I know the number.
A rough number.
What are we saying friends here? Like,
if you text them, they text back. You know, you could just be like, oh, how you doing?
I mean, I work quite a bit in America, so 20?
Yeah, fine. I mean, it was literally because it alarmed me that I'm not friends with any Americans.
Not one American. No, American that lives here in London.
No, loads of Canadians, but no Americans. And should you win Best Guest, what would you like from the imaginary prize cupboard, Jim?
I'd like a hip replacement.
Do you need one?
But I will do eventually.
You will do, so you just want it in the bank.
So I just like it in the bank,
All right, great.
Because it's just getting harder and harder, isn't it?
I don't know what skincare regime you've got, but I don't, you look way much younger than you are if you're already thinking about that.
Yeah, any sitting replacement that could allow me to start skateboarding again, all the pains and aches that I've gone through over the years. You get beaten up a lot in films, so you end up sort of in
Yes,
quite,
I read this about you.
Your body sort of ends up taking a bit of a battering, you know. So, yeah, I'll bank one of those if I
All right, nice one. Okay. I want to move on to music before we let you go. You've got a little studio in your home, is that right?
I do, yeah. I have a very small, in the garage of my house. When I bought the house, which I didn't know at the time, it's just a tiny little house down on a little mews. And I looked into the garage just as we were looking around it, and I realised that it was soundproofed, and the guy that I was buying it off was a DJ. So he'd sort of soundproofed the whole garage and used it as a recording studio for himself.
So it was already done.
This is perfect. And I sort of struck gold, really. It was already soundproofed and it was already ready to go, so I could just move all my equipment in there and get to work.
Nice. What was you brought up on music-wise? Like, in my house, it was a combination of Ian Dury and Simply Red, because my mum and dad have very different music tastes.
Quite a mashup.
Yeah, it really is.
I was brought up on a lot of hip-hop music, actually, from my older brother, who, you know, was around the 90s. When I was about 10 years old, I discovered 3 Feet High and Rising by De La Soul.
Right, yeah, cool.
And so all that sort of stuff, the Jungle Brothers and Black Sheep and Del, Funky Homo Sapien, and all those kind of hip-hop 90s sort of bands, Souls of Mischief, were big influences. That was quite young, you know, I was quite, and my brother was playing me all these tapes and listening to all this music. And then I sort of discovered the Beastie Boys when I was into skateboarding, about 14, 15,
classic.
And was obsessed in that band. The album Check Your Head was a massive record that I obsessively listened to. And then I remember I had a paper round, and I sort of found, it was one of my brother's mate's tapes on the kitchen table, and I was bored of listening to whatever music I'd been listening to, and I put it on, and I really remember it. I was cycling around in my paper round, probably 16 at this point.
Right, yeah.
And it was the record called Some Friendly by the Charlatans.
Okay.
And it was that sort of Manchester, sort of baggy, sort of, there was Hammond organs. Because I've never really been that into guitar music, really. I know people think that I probably am, but I'm not. I've always been much more interested in beats and drums and melodies. So it was kind of great extension into, it sort of took me down a whole new path, and I sort of discovered a lot of the Manchester stuff, and then started getting into bands like Blur and, you know.
Yeah, sure.
But it was, yeah, I started getting into the Charlatans and the Stone Roses and the Happy Mondays, and it took me down that sort of route.
See, I sort of went in reverse, but it was exactly the same. Paper round, Walkman.
Yeah.
And
cassette
I was on Oasis and all that stuff. And then the first Eminem album, that was what I had on my paper round, and that then flipped me over to hip hop. So
right,
I basically did the same, but the opposite.
The opposite way around.
Ian Boldsworth on Fubar Radio.
Got a special surprise guest, just met him outside. We've got clues. I'm going to have to do some clues. I'm going to ask him some questions. And if you want, you can disguise your voice as well.
Okay.
That's good. Okay, special surprise guest. Are you a man?
Alright.
Alright, he is a man. Okay, so we've got a man. Are you involved in politics?
Not today.
No politics today. Are you in the popular music charts?
Not last time I checked.
No, not in the charts.
No, but I do check regularly.
Do you work in comedy?
Not that I know. Yeah, I do, yeah.
Are you sometimes booked under the banner of comedy?
Sometimes.
Right, are you Nick Helm?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah, I am.
Got it, just from them, please. Yeah.
Got it in seven, and my face.
And your face helps as well. Hi, Nick.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm all right, man. I feel like I've sort of brought you into Jurassic. It feels slightly unfair.
Jurassic Park.
Oh, come on. I just saw you outside.
You did, yeah.
Just bumped into you. You were on the phone.
Yes, I was.
I was texting.
Yes.
So we were both busy.
Yeah. Did that awkward thing where you're on the phone, you want to say hello, and then you're just sort of like loitering while you're finishing off a conversation.
Do you know what? I didn't feel entirely awkward. What I did do, though, never done this before, I weirdly, Nick sort of waved a bit. I went, "Hi," and then you stood near me, but you were still on the phone.
Yeah.
I put my glasses on.
I did notice that.
And I don't know why.
You did do that.
And then I thought, I'd better look at something.
Yeah.
So I started looking at my phone with my glasses on.
But what was interesting about it was I could have literally just lowered the phone away from my mouth very briefly and just said, hi.
Hi, and nice to see you.
And then I could have walked off.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
And then we had a weird thing, which was we had a quick hug.
Did we hug?
We did one hug, first of all.
Right.
And then we did four handshakes.
He shook your hand.
He shook my hand four times.
Over the space of a 3-minute conversation. Yeah.
On the third one, I said, oh, yeah, shake my hand again. What happened was, I do Warm Up on Red Dwarf, but Nick went to see Red Dwarf the other week.
But it was a night that I was off.
Yeah.
But I was gutted, so we were chatting about that. That
so I just wanted to congratulate him that he'd got that gig.
We were trying to say we missed each other.
In every sense.
In every sense.
How was the recording you went to? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. I was in the green room, which I think I would have probably enjoyed it a little bit better had I been in the studio. But I'd just been to see another studio sitcom get recorded that week.
And what
that
one? Was, what I, one?
I'm not going to say.
Why?
It was a long experience.
What was one you didn't enjoy?
Not going to say.
Why would you not tell them? Was it no good what you went to see?
I'm not going to say.
Nick, you can't put yourself
forward. I don't want to get into it.
You can't put yourself forward for an interview and then not speak.
I didn't put myself forward for an interview. I put myself. I mean, what we agreed on was I'm going to work on one of my new characters.
Yes. Yeah. I want to try it out for 10 minutes.
Try that out for 10 minutes. And when I am absolutely.
Get a free tea.
Well, I am absolutely, totally assured that it's a masterpiece. It's coffee, by the way. And right, I drink the coffee and then coffee. I'm going to go off and.
You can charge your phone if you want to.
Right, so we're. Well, hang on a second. Is this how my show works now? Is we invite like people in off the street, come on in, have a cup of coffee, do a shit character and charge your phone up.
20 shit character or alter ego. My character was a new one I've been working on called Stranger End Town.
Stranger End Town?
Yeah.
That's his name, is it?
Yeah.
Is it he? We established that.
Yeah.
What's the origin story there?
Nobody knows who he is until they ask him 20 questions.
Right.
Or more like seven.
We didn't even ask you that many questions, did we?
No,
didn't.
And is that his actual voice?
No, this is his actual voice.
Right.
So not having a critique from you.
I genuinely think I've lost my glasses. I've only just got them. Well. Nat and Nick, carry on talking.
But they're new ones.
They look good.
Is that why you put them on?
160 quid,
man. I found them straight away.
Found them again. They were in my pocket.
They're nice, I like them.
I'm not used to.
Get one of them chains that goes around the back. They really suit you. So they're your first pair of glasses?
Yeah, first time I dropped. Try them on.
Why? Why do you need them?
For reading and writing.
The beginning of the slow deterioration towards death.
Yeah.
Stay home and chill.